Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Also can hear me on the radio, River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430, and now another radio frequency is joining us, 94.9 carrying our show. That's the River Talk Radio Network, plus 1290, plus 1430. It's unbelievable. You can also see the whole show on the Facebook live stream of the show, although, again, there's nothing. When I don't have a guest, like, now that Gage Joseph has left us, there's really nothing to see. I mean, there really is nothing to see. I don't want to disappoint you, but truly there's nothing to see. But got great stuff that you can hear, including our next guest. His name is Mike McVeigh. You probably remember him if you've been in the Valley a good while and you love radio. Mike McVeigh was this legendary, terrific air talent and a program director who made his bones here in the Valley, and from there just shot off into incredible success throughout the radio industry, air talent, program director, consultant, and now R. Mike McVeigh, who, by the way, married a local gal from Shadyside, has been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, man, this is great. We got to get our people here to let them know about this. A local, not local boy, but he was here for a good while and did very, very well. So, Mike McVeigh, welcome to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing this morning, Mike?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And man, all those frequencies, you can hear that radio station everywhere.
Indeed, wow. Indeed, unless there's any rain, and then forget it. Anyway, so Mike McVeigh, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations, the Radio Hall of Fame. You started out, I think, near the Pennsylvania Turnpike, near Breezewood or Youngwood or somewhere, but then you drifted here to the Upper Ohio Valley, where essentially you made your bones and all of that. So tell us about your time here in the Valley and how successful you were.
Sure, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I mean, success is relative, right? I was really, you know, a baby DJ, a baby program director. I'm from exactly where you said, Youngwood, PA. So if you've ever driven Interstate 70 to the PA Turnpike, you get on at New Stanton. I grew up 2 miles from there and started in your area. I was in Greensburg, PA first, but in your area, it was Moundsville, West Virginia. A guy named Randy Chamberlain, who at one point in the not-so-distant past was the mayor of Moundsville, and so I worked for about a year as a program director, morning man there.
Do you remember the frequency?
I think it was 1360?
1370, like maybe?
13-something.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe something like that.
What kind of music did you play?
I had a house I rented a half of right across from the mound, and so that started it, and then I moved up to 1600 WNEU as the program director, and first in the afternoon, then the mornings. And I learned a lot. And to your point, my wife is a Shadyside Tiger. She still has a lot of family that lives down in that area, Jakesburg, Key Ridge. I'll tell you what, dating her was a labor of love. I mean, the first time she gave me directions to meet her parents to go to her home, it's not like, you know, you go to Elm and Fifth and make a left. It's like you go to the barn and you make a left, and you go up a hill and you'll see a sign that says school bus turn around, and you go right. And it was fabulous. But good farm girl.
Yeah,
good
Doris. Farm. Doris, what was her maiden name?
Hi, Hammond. Hammond.
Hammond. Okay, great. And are a lot of family still around here in the Valley?
Yes, she's got a couple of sisters down there. Lots of nieces and nephews. She's one of seven kids, so a couple of them live up here near us. And when I say up here, I live just west of Cleveland, Ohio now. And but there's still a lot of family down there. Shadyside and Bel Air.
That is great. What was it like being on radio here back in the day when the population was much bigger? We had a lot more industry going on, and it was a hot radio market, and it produced lots and lots of great talent. A lot of people don't realize this, but it produced a lot of great talent. What was it like?
It was fabulous. It was so much fun. I mean, there were so many great names that I'm sure your audience knows, like Bob Doris and Jim Robinson and, Jim Roberts. And the Duggar was a big top 40 DJ at night, who I guess is still on the radio in Parkersburg, I'm told. But it was really great. And one of my best friends in the world, we're still best friends, and he went on to have an amazing career himself, is a guy named Charlie Cook, who had been mornings in PD at WWVA. We met riding elephants in Wheeling as it was part of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And so somewhere there are pictures of me sitting on an elephant, and the owner of the radio station I was at was a guy, Gene Johnson. And Gene was an old carnival guy, an old showbiz guy. He had managed Country Artists and others. And so he had me shirtless, wearing green silk pants, slippers with curled toes, and a turban, and had two young women walking along beside me in bikinis carrying signs that said, "I like Mike," and then the station name. And so, that gives you an idea of who he was and how fun and crazy it was back then.
Oh, yeah. Why is it that radio promotions and everything were so much fun back then, so outrageous, and now everything is just homogenized and corporate and bean counter friendly? What the hell happened? This used to be one of the most fun industries in the history of entertainment.
Well, I'm still active. I'm not retired. And one of the things I do is write a article for a big publication. It comes out every Tuesday. The publication's called Radio Inc. About a year ago, I wrote an article that said, "The Lawyers Ruined Radio."
Yeah.
And it was tongue-in-cheek, but there was a lot of truth to it. I mean, you know, back in those days, people would broadcast live from the top of a billboard, you know, for weeks to raise money for a charity, or they would dive out of an airplane. And you know, and lawsuits and all those things kind of change that. Yeah, I think that was a lot of it. And you guys are in a great situation because you're locally owned, locally operated.
Yes.
As you say, live and dangerously local, or is it local and dangerously live? It could go either way with you.
Yeah.
But
it depends on the day.
It is great when there's someone like your group that is local, because a lot of the big corporations don't focus like they once did on smaller markets.
Why is that? Because you could make a lot of money in a smaller market. This would be considered a smaller market. But if you know what you're doing, you can make a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely you can. I consult a big sports station in Atlanta, Georgia. I also have a country FM and adult contemporary, which is kind of softer music FM in Athens, Georgia. Both are locally owned. When I visited them a few months back, I asked each individual owner how they had done financially in 2024, and they both told me it was one of their best years ever. And it wasn't because of political advertising. It's because radio still sells cars and air conditioners and services and meals at restaurants.
Yep.
And the difference is they have people going to businesses to sell them marketing and advertising. And a lot of the big groups in Atlanta just don't.
Why would they not do that? Some of these big corporations fire salespeople left and right. Locally, some of the stations here in the Valley are owned by this big failing corporation that keeps losing money and has to restructure its debt every few weeks. And they fired most of the salespeople. And I thought to myself, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. You should be hiring salespeople. What am I missing here, Mike?
You're not missing anything. I think the approach is one of scale. They would tell you, I don't necessarily agree with this, but they would say to you, we just can't generate enough money in a smaller community. And so they'd rather invest the money they have in the larger communities where they believe they can generate more money. But if you or I owned a group of radio stations in a small market, and we had five or six people out every day selling advertising, we could live a very comfortable life the rest of our lives.
Oh, no question. In fact, we've got the sales department here, I think, has close to 10 people and roughly 10 different radio signals. and we're all doing very well. I mean, you hear all the commercials on all of our stations. We don't even subscribe to any sort of a rating service because we don't need to, because Big Willie 105.5 and all the other stations that are owned by The Ohio Midland News Group, we are so successful, we literally do not need a rating service because everybody knows how hot we are, and you can hear it by all the commercials. Everybody wants to come on and, you know, advertise on our stations. It's mystifying to me. Because across the street, whatever competitors you could even call them, are owned by this big corporation, and they're lifeless. They're virtually lifeless. They have, I don't know, one or two salespeople struggling to make ends meet. They have no local programming to speak of. It's the difference is just like night and day, Mike. It's just, I can't understand what has happened to our industry. I really can't. But back to you, back to the Valley here. What was the kind of music that you were playing back in the day, and what were the most interesting things that you did with local radio here in the Upper Ohio Valley before you moved on to this incredible career that you have now, being a nominee for the Radio Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, the music in those days was much more wide and varied. You had 14 WKWK playing Top 40. So at 1600 WNEU, we were all the way down next to the glove box. And the music we played was, you know, everything from a pop song by Fleetwood Mac, we're talking late 70s, to John Denver, to an artist named Roger Whittaker, which was kind of a easy listening artist. And so there was a lot of different music played. And Elvis still had songs. I mean, I was working at 1600 AM when Elvis died.
Oh, my. What was it like?
Still songs.
In the Valley here, the day that Elvis died, you were on the radio. What was it like?
Oh, it was the end of music as we knew it. You know, he was truly the king. And even though now as you look back and people joke about the fat Elvis and all these different things, he was still pretty amazing and sold out shows wherever he went, and was the first big artist, he and Frank Sinatra really, who could sell out a venue in Las Vegas for weeks and months at a time.
Wow.
And so it was a different time in what we'd experienced. Now, I mentioned the Fat Elvis. Being in the Cleveland area, if you've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum here in Cleveland, one of the things I like to do is take friends who visit me there. And they have Elvis's jumpsuit there from when he was quote-unquote fat. He really wasn't that fat. You know? It's just he wasn't the beanpole that he did in his early days,
'50s. Yeah. My goodness. So when do we know for sure that you're going to be accepted into the Radio Hall of Fame? Because you've been nominated. I've got to imagine it's going to be an overwhelming yes vote. But when do we know for sure?
Oh, no, I'm already being inducted. It's October 30.
Oh, inducted. That's even better. Wait a minute. The audience, hold on. That's even better. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's October 30th. Because I'm going in as an executive, each year they have two people who are executives and one that is somebody in our industry posthumously, the rest of the group are people who have been on the air. And there's about 900 voters for the people who have been on the air. For the others, it comes down to the board of directors, which are 12 people, and they pick two executives who've never been. I mean, you can be in the air. I was on the air, but I'm not known for that. My career was, you know, made better known by being a program director and an executive and a content creator.
Yeah.
And so October 30th. And also going in when I go in is Alice Cooper.
Wow.
You know, and former MTV VJ Martha Quinn.
Wow.
Are both going in at the same time. And so it's going to be fun. I've been joking with my friends saying, imagine the social media posts of Alice Cooper and I hanging out after the ceremony.
That's going to be great. Mike, I cannot thank you enough for your time. We're hard-pressed here. We got a hard break coming up at the top of the hour, Network News. If people want to follow you on Facebook and other social media, how do they do that?
I am Mike McVeigh, M-I-T-E-M-C-V-A-Y. At everything, Instagram, you pick it. That's it.
All right.
Everywhere. everywhere.
That is just great. The Radio Hall of Fame. My. You have come a long way from the Upper Ohio Valley, my friend, and so well-deserved. And Doris, the pride of Shadyside, please give her my best. And I could not be happier for you, Mike McVeigh. I really couldn't. Congratulations, sir. Well played. An incredible statement of your incredible radio career. Seriously. Thank you, Mike. You have a great day. Best wishes, my friend.
Thank you.
That's a great guy. A great, great guy. There are a lot of people in this industry who are not great guys. But let me tell you, Mike McVeigh is a great guy. And he did so well here and from here. Radio Hall of Fame.